Okay, introduce yourselves and tell us what you do in the band. Maybe Kevin, you could start.
My name is Kevin, and I am the singer.
I'm Sharko, and I play guitar.
I'm Paul, I play the drums.
I'm Asta Lasagna, I play bass and do silly dances.
Okay, and how long has UV Rays been around for?
I think we started like 2003-ish or so. This is a pretty different lineup at this point. We kind of broke up and got back together 3 million times. But around 2003 we started.
How much has the lineup changed?
Well, me and Kevin are the... Me, Shark, and Kevin are the original guys in the band. And we've had a bunch of other rotating lineups of drummers and bass players.
And the other guitar players.
There was one other drummer and another bass player. And two other bass players.
Yeah, there's been me and Kevin are the original guys who started the band.
Okay, and how did UV Rays form?
I heard a demo. Oh, I actually heard Kevin's band. I don't know if it was War Squad or I think it was The Dents. Kevin was in a band called The Dents, and I heard his tape, The Dents, and I was like, man, I got to be in a band with that guy. He's got a great vocals, and I can. That's totally how it started. We were at a party, and I was listening to his tape, and I wanted to be in a band with him.
Okay.
And luckily, at the time, I was doing War Squad then, and we were kind of, like, dying out, you know. So I was also kind of looking for something, you know. That's, like, all 80s hardcore, that kind of shit. And we wanted to move a little more musically and singingly-ish, you know, towards earlier punk sounds, I guess. But here we are back at 80s hardcore. We've come for a circle.
Do you think that? Because I do hear like an early... when I listen to your stuff, I hear sort of some MC5 bleeding into this and some Dead Boys.
Love
and
all that stuff.
Very much
even
so.
Some like that Reckless Abandon of the Germs and stuff like that. So, I do hear like an early punk sound.
It's
a lot
to.
More punk than some of that punk stuff was, though, you know. So it's like concentrated, you know. That's how I listen to it. That's how I hear it anyway. But... So you think you're doing some? What was the idea when you're starting this band?
Well, I just wanted to do some. You know, we were all into like the MC5 and that kind of stuff. So that was the idea, was to do something similar to that, but a little more punk than like the MC. I mean, not that you can get any better than the MC5.
No,
but,
MC5.
Just do like a rougher version of that kind of stuff. You know, Dead Boys. And, I mean, you can't get rougher than that. But you know, that's the style. MC5, Dead Boys. You hit it right on the. On the head, that's exactly what we were going for when we decided to start this band. So
it's moved along a little bit since then, you know, but yeah, it still informs every song we write.
Okay. I guess, do you consider anyone else influences on the band aside from that early sound?
Everything, man.
We listen to so many different things. Like, it doesn't matter, like girl group stuff from the, you know, the 60s into, you know, you know, jazz, blues, anything. Like, there's so many different things we listen to. So,
it's true. I know it sounds kind of silly, but
a lot of metal lately.
Yeah, well, I listen to a ton of metal.
Well, what about punk influences? Who do you credit?
You got Stooges, MC5, and you got, you know, Dead Boys, Ramones, that 70s era.
Dictators.
And then you got, like, you know, Dictators definitely were huge for us. That was one of our first covers. And then, you know, then you got, like, punk kept giving these crazy new bands. Now then Black Flag came after the 70s bands were done, you know, and you had hardcore and all of it. I don't know, man. It's all very distilled. I don't think many of us listen to anything that current anymore.
Okay, well, tell us some of the... You did some covers tonight, so who did you cover?
We did Black Flag and Gang Green tonight, you know, which is a perfect example of the 80s.
Nervous Breakdown?
The Standards.
The Standards, you know, Alcohol is a perfect song for us.
You know, when I think, when I heard you guys playing Alcohol, I was thinking, first off, it's a different sound from what Gang Green was playing, but then you guys made it your own. It was like
cool.
You did a good version of it.
We actually got to play some shows with those guys and hang out with them, and they're totally awesome dudes, and I don't know, that was part
of the reason why you chose it as a song.
We had covered that song, but we actually got to play. You know, we were all big Gang Green fans, and we actually got to play some shows with them recently. And they're the best guys, and they're totally awesome. And
they're hilarious. Still total party animals, man.
All
right, dude.
After all these years,
yeah,
that's good.
And that's kind of what we go on. We're pretty much, you know, it's not so much talent. It's more about drinking night with the boys and just play some music and have a good time. So we're not worrying about if our guitars are out of tune or anything like that. We just play and have a good time.
No one ever worries that their guitars are out of tune.
Paul's the only one who worries about that.
It's okay. The energy, you know. It's the energy and that feeling.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and it is like pretty much perfect party punk music kind of thing.
Party punk. That was another. That was one of the original things that we started the band for too, is to be party punk. So, because we all like to party.
Yeah, yeah. The full length album is way more like that. All like party punk jams. This new one's a little more serious, a little more pissed off. But yeah, we try to keep that feeling.
But we can joke a bit about it. But I mean, I think there is like a bunch of bands coming out that are just like about that. You know, and there certainly is in Toronto. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, I definitely.
It's all about. Oh, what other reason is there to play music other than to have a good time with your friends and entertain people and have a good time with them totally. Also. So. If you take yourself that seriously, then you go be a radio rock crap band. So
yeah, right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I guess, who would you, if you had to limit your record collection of 5 punk releases as a band, what would they be?
Yikes, that's a rough one.
Yeah, man, all of us have pretty giant vinyl and CD everything collections.
Well, you can narrow. I just want to narrow it down to punk kind of, or punk and hard rock.
For everybody here?
No, 5 as a band.
It would have. I'd have to say Young Loud and Snotty.
Definitely Young
Loud
and Snotty would
be
there.
By Dead Boys.
Oh Christ! Fucking maybe Raw Power, Stooges.
Yeah, definitely.
You know.
Probably the.
Fucking Black Flag, Nervous Breakdown, yeah, Black Flag, like first 4 years.
I have to throw in the MC5. Kick Definitely. Out the jams, man. That's like one of the very first punk rockers, man. That's it. You know, that's the stuff.
Is that 4 or 5?
I think
that's
it's only 4.
That's only 4.
Yeah, I've only got 4.
I always felt that the Testers and the Kids from Belgium were the two perfect bands that did kind of what I was trying to do with this band, and it's not exactly what we do, and I don't know if it's as big with these guys as it. Well, I know it's not as big with them as it is with me, but that's what it is. You know, it's like the perfect marriage of punk and rock and roll, which is what punk is anyway. You know, those guys blew me away.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, do you write the lyrics? Okay, what are some of the things you sing about lyrically?
Like I said,
blowing baby pumas.
Yeah. All kinds of shit. We kind of started off more like in a like party punk kind of shit like we were talking about. We got a lot of drinking jams and shit like that. New record's a lot more politically charged. I got fed up with trying to be happy all the time because I'm up there yelling, you know. I can yell better if I mean it better.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I remember in War Squad you were singing about like Donald Rumsfeld. There was a song about Rumsfeld.
Yeah, man. We hated all those fuckers.
Well,
yeah,
because
we
the Gulf
do.
I think the, you know, they were on their fucking
War Squad was a lot more politically.
War Squad was way more political, and it was like almost a conscious effort with this one, like when we started
to not
be that so much. But like by now, years later, it's creeped back. I can't hold it back.
Somebody's
got to talk to that. Like,
well, times have gotten worse, right?
Fucking
a,
man.
Worse, yeah.
Every time.
The main purpose is to party and have a good time, but we just don't want you to forget how bad everything sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think
you guys got a little better up here. Maybe.
With things getting worse, I think you need a reason to party. Or you mean you need to party to get away from it just so you don't fucking blow your brains out or blow someone else's brains
cycle,
out.
Yeah, it's like a
vicious cycle. What were some of the song titles maybe that you have?
Tonight. We got that one, Get Bent, which is a new one. This is the first recording of it. And that's like totally me more than many of the songs is because it's like obscure retardation, you know, and it's like this person has pissed me off, but I'm gonna like say it really weird because I like poop jokes, you know. I like to hear weird animals names, man. This thing is like, you know, blow a baby puma, get killed
puma.
By an elk herd, slip and fall on mouse turds.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin's
like,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm kind of a
weirdo. We're all kind of losing our minds as we get a little bit older, you know. I don't know.
Well, the realm of the absurd also makes, you know, light of the scenario, right?
Well, it's
indeed, yeah, you know, it's just another way to express yourself. I like to talk in funny and sometimes frivolous languages when I yell, but it all definitely has
like
clear
French.
Point, and I'm definitely always conveying a clear emotion. If you come see us, you can tell that I'm not fucking kidding around. Even if I'm saying the most ridiculous line, yeah. I fucking mean it.
Well, I saw that tonight, actually. Okay, well, can I ask you about... can I ask you to pick a favorite UV Ray song from a lyrical standpoint and tell me why you like it?
Give me the list of songs by your butt, Paul.
Well... I'm a particular fan of the ancient Pit of Corpses Calls You Out.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was the last song we played tonight. It was about this crazy... It's on the first record. It's probably the third or fourth song we wrote.
It's pretty hard to top Blowing Baby Pumas, though. I don't know if that's...
What is Blowing Baby Pumas about? Because you've been talking about it.
Song is called Get Bent, you know, and I'm just trying to think of all these, like... bad things to sell someone that's pissed me off, you know, and it goes like, deep fry your dumb scrotum, go get bent, blow a baby puma, go get bent, get killed by its mother, get bent. It's like, you know, it's funny to me, and it also tells that person that they're an asshole.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, that's kind of where I've been going anyway. I love all the songs, everyone I wrote is important. In different ways. Sometimes fun is important, and sometimes it's important to, you know, elaborate on awful society.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, sometimes, I mean, you know, sometimes people single out songs because they maybe express something particularly well, or, you know, like when I was in a band, I remember some songs sticking out because I thought, oh, yeah, I kind of nailed this one, where some things were kind of, I didn't quite get it, you know.
Yeah. I found...
Is there something like that in your...
I found that really a lot of times when I feel like I've conveyed my point the best is when it's real fucking simple and blunt, you know, like, don't need nobody is another one we played today. Another one that starts with don't. I mean, it's like, it's not even like correct English, you know, but it conveys the point real well. The story of, like, this girl I was dating, and she's this crazy fucking cokehead, and, like, the same time, like, my good buddy for years, you know, he fucking just started talking shit, and I ended up punching him in the face and crap. But, like, I think I rounded it up really beautifully. It's like, and you know what, you don't need anyone. It's like liberating even to sing it sometimes, you know, if life gets me down, you know, it's like, fuck it, I don't need them, fuck that shit, I don't need any of them, you know.
Yeah, and I think we can all relate.
I don't know, it's hard for me to single any out. I love them all.
Okay, what about the rest of you guys? Is there a song that you like from a lyrical standpoint, and why would you like the song?
Do you guys even know my lyrics?
Yeah, I like a lot of the new stuff. I like the political stuff.
Yeah,
I think I'd have to say my favorite would be Failed Generation.
And why do you like it?
Because it talks about how people nowadays suck.
Everybody's always sucked.
Everybody's always
worse.
Sucked.
But it's gotten worse recently.
Well,
than it was.
What that one is to me is like, man, there's like a lot of shit going down in the USA where we're from, you know, like George Bush, obviously the whole world knows is a fucking prick, right? But, they just took a prick. They took all these goddamn, like, they've been making these giant bounds and steps to take away more and more rights, and it's getting scarier and scarier, you know. And, like, in the fucking 60s, you know, a lot of punk rockers will talk shit on hippies, but there's tons of fucking kids out in the street, like, saying this is fucked up, you know, and, like, ain't nobody doing that nowadays. All the kids are pacified with the mall and technology or fucking their iPod and their cell phone or whatever the fuck they do. You know, it's like these people are walking all over you, you know, and fucking bleeding you dry,
yeah.
You know, and no one gives a fuck. And that's why they failed. That's why it's a failed generation.
Okay. They're all punk rockers, right? Yeah, everyone's a punk rocker. So.
What?
I said they're all punk rockers, right?
Ain't nobody a punk rocker.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, everybody's got the look, but nobody's got the balls to stand up and say anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, word up.
So,
it's gross.
Does anyone else want to stab at this?
I like all Kevin's lyrics, and I'm down with everything he has to say. And I feel the same way. I just don't know how to say it. So,
okay.
Thanks, Chuck.
What's the story behind Party Pat?
The song.
And where is Party Pat?
Party Pat punched me in the face at our last show, and is no longer in the band. I guess he wanted to play a song that I didn't care for playing, and he punched me in the face, and therefore a fight broke out. But the song Party Pat, I guess Kevin will take over and tell you what that's about.
We were supposed to play Monster Mash for this girl's birthday party, which was right around Halloween. The prior year, she made us learn 18 Alice Cooper because she was turning 18, and we learned a couple other Cooper songs that year for her. She was our little friend, but this year she wanted us to play Monster Mash. We were like, of course, Miss Jane, it was her name. But she did a punk's picnic in Rochester that summer, and like shit went down, and things got trashed, and we didn't get to play because like the electricity got cut, and Paul was drunk and being a dick. So anyway, she like canceled the whole fucking thing, you know. So the show was off, but there we were, and we had learned Monster Mash. Why? What are we going to do with Monster Mash? I don't want to sing Monster Mash.
So you changed the words.
I changed the words. Party Pat.
Was it about Pat, the guy in your band?
Or? Indeed, yeah.
He's an awesome party animal, but he's just, you know, things get a little bit too far because we're all big, you know, alcoholics, I guess. In a weird way of saying it, it's probably not the best thing to say, but we, you know, we're pretty much drunk all the time. And whether we're off stage, on stage, or coming off stage, so there's always some crazy thing going on at one of our shows where somebody, either we're hurting each other or we're hurting something, or, you know, just some shit's always going down because we drink a lot, which...
By the time we play, Pat's usually got a really glazed look in his eyes, like a really lovable, like... Oh.
His cheeks are all
great
red.
Great dude, though. Great guitar player.
Does he wear the pizza hat?
He does wear a pizza hat. He's got a pizza tattoo.
Does he wear it on his
arm? Yeah, he's got a pizza tattoo on his arm. Oh, a sweet right? slice. He has this like funny felt pizza hat, which is where that line came from. And he likes snacking and, you know,
snacking,
other fine things in life.
He is almost an animal.
He eats
you know?
Two versions of every meal. Like first breakfast, second breakfast. First lunch. You guys ready for a second lunch?
Yeah, these things consist of like, you know, Slim Jims and candy and like a hot dog.
Yeah, his idea of fruit salad
Margaritas
is peach rings
breakfast.
And like gummy worms, you know. Honestly, no joke.
Yeah, we were going up to Vermont, and I stopped at a fruit stand and got some peaches, and I said, "Hey, Pat, you want a peach?" He goes, "No, I'm fine. I got some peach rings here."
A little candy instead. That's great.
Yeah, we miss him, but I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where things just go too far, you know, with alcohol and people's bad attitudes. You know, we all have, you know, we're all angry and pissed off, and we all have take out our energy while we're playing, so sometimes bad shit happens. So, but we miss him and we do care for him, but he's just in a different place. Like, it's like almost like he's died and gone to another place. I've written him off.
The one liberating feeling is he had gotten this awful habit of playing Doobie Brothers songs on guitar while we were setting up, and like not having to hear the beginning of China Grove on this trip is really like,
yeah, like
put me at ease.
Every time he tunes his guitar up, he starts playing China Grove, and he's like, "I love dad rock."
It's
not like a dad rock.
It's not even
we didn't understand why he liked dad rock.
But he's cool. I mean, he was the first punk rocker I ever met, you know. So he'll always be part of us to some degree.
Wasn't even always the beginning of the show that he'd play it. Sometimes he played in the beginning of the show, and then two songs later after he's tuned, he'd start playing dad rock again and just keep doing it throughout a whole set.
Yeah, Doobie Brothers, Chicago. I don't know what the hell he listens to. Man. He's losing his mind, actually.
Foghat. Pat loves Foghat.
That's so weird, you know, because he's the guy that got me into so many great punk bands, you know. And, he's the guy that's crazy afro.